Hello and welcome to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee, on YouTube and all other social platforms.
And I'm Paul. This is so much more than a podcast, Lee. It's an audio film, a documentary about life, including the nomad lifestyle that's sweeping America.
Hey friends, we have a fabulous, fun episode for you tonight.
So let's get started.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Lee. Or is it Minivan Lee?
It's Minivan Lee. I like that because I have a YouTube channel, Minivan Lee. So please go there and subscribe.
I'll do that.
Okay, it sounds good. Well, Paul, I have a question for you. It's a very important question.
Yes.
What's your favorite candy?
Oh, no doubt about it. Give me a Snickers bar. And I haven't had one. I can't remember the last time I had a Snickers. I'm trying to lose a little weight, which I've done. And so I think I deserve a Snickers, don't you?
No. No. Oh, wow. That's like overload on sweets. But.
And what's your favorite?
Well, what I've been and you have been sucking on for the past day, Werther's Hard Caramel Candy. Well, I love that. Oh, my gosh.
Those are pretty good. Yeah. You got me started on those doggone things, and I think I'm hooked.
Are you hooked? I don't like the soft caramel ones, although we did have the coffee.
That was good.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah. That was good. Good. Well, Paul, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, in a couple of words, something versus something.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, people love choices. It's human to want lots of choices. But research suggests that too many choices are not good for us. Can you believe that?
Yeah, because I read that. They're just really not that good. We freak out over too many choices.
Right.
We want them, but we can't handle them.
Right. As parents, we're taught to offer our children this or that. We offer two things and ask which one the child would prefer. That makes it easy for everyone involved.
Advertising does this as well, I've read. They offer two choices. It's good practice when selling a product to offer two choices. There are also two political parties. Are you this or are you that? And maybe that's why that third party just never seems to make it
in. That could be.
I know.
That could be.
Because it's just a human thing. Well, today we are going to compare two choices. This versus that, or something versus something. This will be fun for us and for you too, so let's get started. What's our first versus?
Well, I'm going to start with, what do you prefer, paper plates or conventional plastic plates, melamine, china, call it what you will? Is it paper or is it plastic? Let's ask it that way.
Right. Now, I'm going to guess that this might be for the nomads out there.
Well,
because I think, well, you know, it might be bricks and sticks, too.
Why not?
Who have to deal with that. There are some single people that probably live in their apartments, and they always use paper plates. Why do dishes, you know?
Well, you do have to wash the conventional plates and,
right,
and dishes. And we don't have, at least most of us, don't have a conventional sink.
As nomads.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. We don't have a regular sink that we can take the dishes over to and rinse them out and then pour the water into the sink and add some soap and what have you. So I prefer paper. Give me paper every time. You just fold it up, throw it in the trash bag, it's gone.
Well, there's another side, and I'll take the versus side. I use conventional plastic dishes. And so you're creating garbage, and I am wasting water.
Here we go. I'm creating garbage. Here we go. I'm going to hear about that.
But what about if you have a campfire at night?
That's an excellent place to put those paper plates and
yeah,
what have you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how many trees are we wasting?
Gosh. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Look out. I've got the environmentalist on my right.
Hey, here. I've been in California. I'm a California girl now.
I think California's rubbing off on you. With my apologies to our Californians out there.
I know. So, really, I don't mean to put, but they are into this recycle thing. And although we've seen a lot of littering going on.
You know, when just today I went down, I was going to a couple of stores. And I went down Highway 85, I think it was, and quite honestly, I was looking at the side of the road, and it was terrible.
Wow.
Lots of paper and junk and pieces of bumpers or whatever.
Wow.
I mean, I'm from Michigan, and I'm sorry, but it looks a lot better. They're not pristine, but I think it looks a lot better on the side of the highway in Michigan than I'm finding here in California.
Well, there you go. But California is known for, they've got, their laws are strict. In fact, littering in California, I think, is $1,000.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't think there'd be so much laying on the side of the road.
I'm sure you don't throw your paper plates around, though.
No, absolutely not.
And if you were out boondocking, you could burn them and save them.
Right.
When we're out boondocking, we save our, we sort of separate our trash.
Right.
Yeah. So you're cutting down trees, though. You're cutting down trees. Now, what about utensils? Do you have fake utensils, too?
I don't like plasticware. No. I really don't, because it invariably the one or two tongs on the fork will break when I'm trying to cut something. Or
did you ever worry that you might choke on one? Because I've had them break off. And I'll take a bite, and it's in my food.
Well,
and then you could choke. You could actually choke.
Well, I've never worried about that, but I might be now. anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so I do like the dishes. I do like to make. You know one of the reasons I like the dishes? Because I don't have any place to store. You have a bigger rig than I do. I don't have any place to store. Of course, I could always just knock on your door and say, hey, can I borrow a paper plate?
That's happened once or twice, that's for sure.
Don't tell on me here, you know.
Well, I'm happy to share.
Okay. So, the next verses is corn versus flour tortilla. What do you like, Paul?
And there's absolutely no doubt about it. I prefer corn. I think corn tortillas have much more flavor. I'm not talking about I don't care for one that is pre-prepared in a folded nature, that it's all crispy. I'm not talking about that. Oh. I'm talking about using it in its soft form to create a whatever, whether a taco or an enchilada or whatever. I think corn is much more flavorful than flour.
Well, I gotta go opposite, and I really don't, I'm not doing it on purpose. I actually prefer flour because I can eat a flour tortilla cold or warmed up, whereas some of those corn tortillas, there's no way you can eat those cold.
Well, I sure try. That's where that plastic fork comes in that I break.
Okay.
And that's why I have a metal fork that I use and a metal spoon, actually.
You know, I want to show you, next time we go to the grocery store, I'm going to show you these hard tortillas. They're flat and they're all, have you ever seen them? They're in a bag and they're twisty at the top and they're so good.
You only use those for tostadas or what?
Yeah, I think so, but oh my gosh. You put those in there with a little cheese on it. Ooh. Those are so good, so I'll introduce you to those.
I'd like to see that,
and they are hard, but they're very tasty. But I think they are corn.
Very good. Well, let's move along. I would like to talk about transmissions. I know that sounds like a little bit of a, maybe complicated and boring, but basically, would you rather drive an automobile that has a stick manual transmission, like the good old days, four on the floor and all that good
standard H.
Yep.
Standard H.
And what was that called, the tree or something like that? Can't remember. Anyway, or is the automatic transmission, which seems to be much more popular now, is that the way to go? I think we're spoiled. I think that we're to the point where the only time I move my gear shift in my vehicle, in this van, is when I'm going downhill, down a mountain, and I want to pull it into a lower gear and let the transmission do some of the work on slowing the vehicle down. Other than that, I put it in drive and just go and don't even think about it. I remember the days of the standard transmissions, and it was fun.
Oh, I had a stick too, and I learned how to use it, and it was like, I mean, you really felt like you were involved in the driving.
Right. And the thing, I must say that the only thing I really didn't care for on a manual transmission is if you were going up a hill.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
you ran into a red light at the top of that hill and you hadn't leveled out yet. It's like, oh, boy, okay. Take the foot off the brake, hit the gas, let out the clutch, and do all of that within about a half second and hope you don't stall it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been there and stalled it, and then the embarrassment comes in. And no, that was an automatic transmission in that situation would be much preferable. There's no doubt.
Do you remember when we got stuck in San Francisco and we were up on that hill? You know, even with automatic, I kind of rolled back a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That's why they want you to turn the wheels into the curb, right?
But But I mean, taking my foot off the brake and putting it on the gas, it still went back a little bit before it went forward.
Right.
So I was
right.
I hope nobody's behind me.
And I was behind you, so that's a problem.
And you were behind me.
So what's next, Lee?
Okay, for shopping bags, paper versus plastic.
And I think we're seeing less and less of that, don't you?
Well, in California, there's no paper.
Well, there's some. I was asked at a Safeway store if I wanted paper or plastic, and I was shocked. I think that was the first time since we've been in California. They did have some paper bags.
Wow. Well, in California, they're charging 10 cents at Walmart, anyway.
Right.
They're charging 10 cents for a plastic bag. They're really durable, though. I mean, quite hardy bags.
Well, I think, doesn't it say on there they're good for at least 125 reuses on the...
Wow.
I think it
I
does
always
say
forget
that.
To take mine in, though. How about you? Do you remember?
I always forget. I never think about it.
But 10 cents, well, yeah. You know, what can you buy for 10 cents anymore?
That's for sure.
A bag. So, well, I kind of prefer, as a nomad, I prefer the plastic. I do not want paper bags. But when I lived in a house, I preferred paper.
And why is that?
Why? That's a good question. I don't know.
Did you reuse them quite a bit?
Well, I always used them for something. I forget.
Yeah. But well, on both the paper and plastic, if you have the right size bag and the right size waste container, you can use them for a liner, of course.
Right.
Either
I think
one.
I did use it for a liner for my garbage. And I think they fold up nicer. I mean, I would actually, after shopping, I would fold them up nice.
Okay.
And I had a little place where I would stick them in, like between maybe cabinets or something.
Well, of course, as a nomad, you could use that paper bag to rip it up and help start a fire.
True, you could use it and put your paper in it.
Okay, Lee, let's move on to another one. Two more choices. Do you prefer to walk or do you prefer to run when you're exercising? I personally much prefer walking. Get lots of exercise, and I can do lots of walking. I think at my tender age, in my low 70s, I think that my body, my knees, my ankles, my hips, I don't think they need that pounding of bump, 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 bump. I think walking is much better for a seasoned citizen like myself.
Well, what about for young people, though?
Well,
I think that walking is actually better for... That's my opinion. Walking is better for everybody. There are runners, though. Your son is a runner.
Yes, he is. He's an avid runner. He runs multiple miles 6 mornings a week.
My word.
I can't tell you exactly how many, but it's a lot. I mean, it's 6 or 7 miles, I want to say, maybe 8. And he's no spring chicken. Glenn, I hope you're listening. Or maybe I should hope you're not listening. One or the other. But anyway, yeah, maybe for younger people, running is okay. But like you said, I think walking is an exercise that everyone that isn't disabled in some form, I think everyone can do that.
Well, yeah, power walking is good. I'm more of a walker. I don't want to run. If I had to run for my life, I'm going to die. I'm just going to go. I don't. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't have that stamina to run anymore.
No.
Well, see, now your son, he's keeping it up. He can run for his life.
Oh, he's been doing it for years. He's running marathons and smaller, shorter races as well. So he is in very good shape, that's for sure.
Very good. Okay, our next one is, here, this is going to be a little touchy subject. iPhone versus Android. Okay, well, I think both of us know where we stand on this.
Well, don't you think that it really, what did you start on? I've never had an Android phone in my hand, let alone used it for any length of time. It's always been an Apple product for me.
Well, as somebody who, I had iPods and iPads.
I did too. Well, and I still have an iPad,
I got a smartphone and it was an Android. I hated it. I did not. I'm like, what? This doesn't even act like a Apple product. I just find Apple to be more fun. But I know for all you out there, we love you. And we know you love your Androids. There are some people that literally hate.
Well, do you think that your dislike of the Android was because you'd already had Apple products and you kind of knew how they worked and how it did things this way and that way?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard to change. I think if you start on something and have it for any length of time, whether it's iPhone or Android, that's going to be your favorite.
Well, I have heard of people. It's sort of like a sports team. You love that sports team. You'll never leave that sports team. Even though the players leave, you're really rooting for a t-shirt. You're rooting for a name because they all leave. But you're loyal to that name. And it's really, I think it comes down to that. Because I've had people say, well, I was on Android, but when I used Apple, oh my gosh. And then you have people who say, I hate Apple. Yeah, so
it goes both ways.
For me, it's Apple all the way.
Me too. Absolutely.
I mean, they're all just, they say, well, I won't support Apple. Well, if you an Android, I mean, like Samsung, it's all made in China and nothing is China. We love you. But, you know, if that's the deal, then they're all made in the same place.
Right. Yep. All right. Well, the next this versus that is asphalt versus cement on the highway. I don't know of anything on the highway when I'm running down the road at 70, 75 miles an hour, when the speed limit, of course, is 75 miles an hour. When I'm on a cement highway and it's going boom, 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 it'll drive you nuts. We can send a man to the moon. Can't we get a smooth highway out of cement, for crying out loud? Well, you can tell. I guess I'm in favor of asphalt because, yes, it gets holes, it has to be filled, and then you've got a little bit of a bump, but it's not that boom, 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 boom that you find, in my opinion, with cement. And you contractors out there, if you could, in the comments, tell me why that is. Why can't they get those two sections of cement to butt together at the same level?
Well, it's like a sidewalk.
Oh, it's the same thing, right?
I know. Cement, sidewalks are cement, right?
Right. And by and large, I'd say. Sure.
It'd be nice to have a little brick, little brick road.
Well, but,
brick
roads. But if there were asphalt sidewalks, then as kids, we wouldn't be able to be sure we didn't step on the cracks. What was the thing? What was going to happen if you stepped?
If you step, you'd break your mother's back.
Yeah, that's right.
How horrible.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah. So anyway, call me an asphalt guy. How about you? Do you care one way or another?
Don't really care. I didn't even know they had cement roads, so.
All right. Well.
Yeah, well.
If they could build them without the pum 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 pum, I'd be a very happy camper. You liked that, didn't you?
I know. Do it again. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Well, we talked about this, I think, last week.
We did.
Gas versus electric stove.
Yeah, we were talking about cooking and we brought that up.
I'm a gas person.
And I am a gas person too.
You are kind of gassy, aren't you?
Thank you very much. Yes.
No, we're kidding.
That's because I love to eat so much. But yeah, I I think, and we should have looked that up, but I think gas stoves are the most popular.
I think so too. I don't know. Oh my gosh.
Many years ago, I worked in a food distribution company.
Yeah.
So I've been in the back doors and in the kitchens of lots of restaurants. And if you think about that, they cook all day, every day. By and large, I never went into a restaurant kitchen and found a non-gas stove.
Oh, you know why? Because the gas turns on and it's ready to go.
Well, that's true.
Cooks cannot wait for that electric to like heat up to proper. Right. And they want to see that flame. They know what flame. Yeah, but that's why.
Yeah.
I guess that's why we like it. We just go right to it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't have to wait for it to warm up.
We're using gas, really, with our butanes.
Right.
Yeah, we want to see.
Out on the road.
Yep.
Well, next, we coined a phrase called urban nestling when we were in San Francisco because it was urban. Oh, boy. And there were so few parking places available that if you could squeeze in and nestle in a parking place, you were pretty happy with yourself. Urban nestling versus boondocking.
Yeah.
Lee, what do you prefer?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, I like them both. It depends on the time of the year. Summer seems to be urban nestling. And the nestling part comes in when you need to go in with the rest of the people. You don't want to be noticed because we're parking on the curb.
Sure.
Especially in San Francisco and in San Jose and in Santa Cruz and Monterey. We're parked on the curb and we have to kind of nestle in and make a little nest and just pretend like we're just part of the community.
Is that why I got so many dirty looks when I pulled out a couple of lawn chairs and my gas grill?
Yeah, and you don't.
Just kidding.
But boondocking, we're going to be boondocking again. So, well, guess what, Paul?
What's that, Lee?
It's pumpkin season.
That's obvious. That's for sure.
Pumpkins are everywhere now, and I'm seeing them in the grocery store. People are already decorating their porches with pumpkins, real and pumpkins fake.
As a matter of fact, we saw somebody across the street here just today putting out their pumpkin for their little child to look at and enjoy. You know, I wondered about the history of pumpkins, so I did a little bit of research, and I found on the History Channel site that references to pumpkins date back many centuries. I don't know if that's surprising to you folks, but I didn't know we had those things around and using them in whatever way for centuries. The name pumpkin originated from the Greek word for, not surprisingly, large melon. And how do you pronounce this? Pepon? Pepon, something like
pepon,
that.
Anyway,
it's the Greek word for pumpkin. I'm not very good with my Greek, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, Greek went to the French, and then finally the English, who called it a pumpion. And now finally in America, we just made it a pumpkin. Actually, Shakespeare referred to the pumpion in his Merry Wives of Windsor play. The pumpkin is also referred to in the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. You remember that part? Peter, Pumpkin Eater. And Cinderella mentions pumpkins too. Colonists renamed the pumpion to pumpkin. We owe it the name of the pumpkin as pumpkin. We owe to the colonists.
Now, Native Americans, according to History Channel, dried strips of pumpkin and wove them into mats. I found that interesting because if they do get wet, you know. I mean, that's the way food is. You dry it, but if it gets wet, it's not dehydrated anymore, so that's interesting. And they also roasted long strips of pumpkin on the open fire and ate them.
That doesn't sound too bad to me.
Oh, I think it sounds good.
A little salt and pepper, maybe, and it might be pretty good.
The origin of pumpkin pie occurred when the colonists sliced off the pumpkin top, removed the seeds, and filled the insides with milk, spices, and honey. The pumpkin was then baked in hot ashes.
And you might wonder, where did carving pumpkins originate? You know, those cute faces and what have you that people like to put on those pumpkins? Well, our research revealed that it originated from an Irish myth about a man named Stingy Jack. According to the story, hey, shout out to Jack, by the way. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Old Stingy Jack. According to the story, Stingy Jack invited the devil to have a drink with him. And true to his name, Stingy Jack didn't want to pay for his drink. So he convinced the devil to turn himself into a coin that Jack could use to buy their drinks. Once the devil did that, Jack decided to keep the money and put it into his pocket next to a silver cross. And of course, that would prevent the devil from changing back into his original form.
Jack eventually freed the devil under the condition that he would not bother Jack for 1 year, and that should Jack die, he would not claim his soul. The next year, Jack again tricked the devil into climbing into a tree to pick a piece of fruit. While he was up there in the tree, Jack carved a sign of the cross into the tree's bark so that the devil could not come down until the devil promised Jack not to bother him for 10 more years.
That Jack was something else, wasn't he?
He was stingy.
Well, soon after that, Jack died. And as the legend goes, God would not allow such an unsavory figure into heaven. The devil, upset by the trick that Jack had played on him and keeping his word not to claim his soul, would not allow Jack into hell. He sent Jack off into the dark night with only a burning coal to light his way. Jack put the coal into a carved out turnip and has been roaming the earth with it ever since. The Irish began to refer to this ghostly figure as Jack of the Lantern. And then they changed it to simply Jack-o'-lantern.
Interesting story. In Ireland and Scotland, people began to make their own versions of Jack's lanterns by carving scary faces into turnips or potatoes and placing them into windows or near doors to frighten away Stingy Jack and other wandering evil spirits. In England, large beets are used. Immigrants from these countries brought the jack-o'-lantern tradition with them when they came to the United States. They soon found that pumpkins, a fruit native to America, made perfect jack-o'-lanterns. And yes, they do.
You know, I was just thinking about pumpkins and the things that we make with, mostly with the insides of what you find inside of a pumpkin. I mean, there's pumpkin pie, pumpkin bread, pumpkin cookies, pumpkin scones, pumpkin soup, pumpkin muffins. You know what? All of a sudden, I'm reminded of Forrest Gump. We've got boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, all kinds of
coconut
shrimp.
Coconut shrimp, pineapple shrimp.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we've got all kinds of pumpkin stuff, too.
Yeah. And let's not forget all the pumpkin flavors and name brands. Baskin-Robbins ice cream, I'm sure, has a pumpkin.
Oh, no doubt.
Yes, pumpkin flavor. And Starbucks, I just saw a commercial. They have these coffee flavors, pumpkin mocha. And then we were just at Denny's, and I saw the pumpkin pancakes.
Oh, yeah. And I think, I haven't been to one in months, actually, but I think McDonald's has a special pumpkin frappe or something. So a lot of people use those.
Well, I have a question. I noticed the last couple of days of you, everyone's on you, you've called me pumpkin a few times
lately. Is that right?
How did pumpkin become a term of endearment? Because I thought, pumpkin? Why did you call me pumpkin?
Well, I'll tell you what, Lee. I looked this up ahead of time, and not every culture uses sweets as a term of endearment, but some use cabbage, raspberries, and even pasta as a pleasant food term for endearment of a loved one. And in 1991, the lyrics of a song by John Prye included Daddy's Little Pumpkin, so it is an affectionate nickname. One of the earliest of the 20th century appears in the 1951 novel by Myron Brinig in The Sadness in Lexington Avenue. He writes, "Let me hear it, Frida. My little pumpkin, my little sugar plum."
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
So, yeah, it's a term of endearment. Well, there you go. There you have it, everybody. A little bit of this and a little bit of that for tonight. And so for all you pumpkins out there, I want to thank you for being a part of our fun discussion tonight.
Well, make sure that you get those pumpkins carved. Make it really scary to keep Stingy Jack and all those other evil spirits away. You got to make sure to have that at your disposal and ready to go.
In the immortal words of Charlie Brown in his It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, he said, "There are three things that I've learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin."
And this is Minnie Van Lee saying goodbye. Thank you for being with us.
Be cool.